Welcome back to Juno Afternoon, made possible with support from Sentinel Coffee, serving Southeast with locally roasted organic coffee and door-to-door delivery. More at sentinelcoffee.com. I'm Andy Klein, your host for this Friday edition of Juno Afternoon, and with me is Corley LaForce, who's with Blooming Lotus Sangha. Corley, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much, Andy. It's such a pleasure to be here. I know everyone always says that when they're interviewed, but I really mean it.
Oh, that's good.
And for those of you who have never come on air, I have to say you are really treated like a guest.
Yes, yes, it's true.
Yes.
Come on Juno Afternoon. Scott will give you a coffee, do whatever you want to have. You can have it here. That's right. Well, you're doing a 1 and 3 day kind of different retreats talking about awakening hearts and healing people and healing ourselves is the title of it. But before we get into that, tell me a little bit about Blooming Lotus Sangha. What is that organization? Tell me about what the sort of normal day-to-day happenings there is all about.
So Blooming Lotus Sangha is, this is actually a little bit confusing for me to talk about right now. Blooming Lotus Sangha is a sangha, and so a sangha is a group of mindfulness practitioners, usually within the Buddhist tradition, and they are a group that's headed by Martha Martinez in Florida, and Martha lives in Juneau during the summers. So I met Martha after coming back from a retreat with Thich Nhat Hanh's monastery. So Thich Nhat Hanh has the Plum Village monasteries, and I was at one of them in California called Deer Park. So I had come back from Deer Park Monastery and was invited to teach a class on self-care at Aware's advocacy training.
Oh, okay.
And at the training, I was teaching a lot of Thich Nhat Hanh's practices because they're very healing. And Martha was in the audience, and she said, "Hey, you must be a student of Thay." Thay is the affectionate name for Thich Nhat Hanh.
Oh, okay.
And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Oh, great. You should start a sangha." And that was something that I had already heard when I was in Deer Park. So the monastics there are very encouraging of people who are touched by the practices to start a mindfulness group at home. And so with Martha's encouragement, and with the encouragement of other monastics I was working with back in California and also Oregon, I started a little mindfulness group here. So then during the summers, Martha practices with us. And then in the winters when she's in Florida, she works closely with the monastics. So this spring, she was so excited to tell me that the monastics want to come to Juneau, Alaska, and create a mindfulness retreat here.
Oh, that's incredible. That's really great. So it's a brand new thing, something that's never happened here before.
The retreat with the monastics is new, though Linda Buckley used to have a sangha in town, and she has organized, I think, 3 different retreats over the course of maybe 20 years.
I see.
So we're really lucky to have all this community here. And to loop back to your previous question, what does Blooming Lotus Sangha do? So Blooming Lotus Sangha in Florida does a lot of, I think, weekly sits and then also retreats. And then here in Juneau, we mostly sit one evening a week on Monday nights, and we practice mindful sitting, mindful walking, mindful sharing from the heart, reading some texts. And then oftentimes some other things like deep relaxation and other stuff I can't remember right now. Oh, a mindfulness tea. It's a really lovely little group, which anyone is welcome to attend. And I would contact me first because I'm not always in town. So if you want to practice with us, do call me. It's 419-3052. And then I can add you to our mailing list. Because I don't want you to show up and have no one there.
So I know this is a big question and probably maybe the first thing people ask, but the concept of mindfulness, mm-hmm. what in sort of a short phrase or a short, I'm sure that's a very deep question for people that are practicing that discipline. But what are some of the concepts behind that idea of mindfulness?
Hmm. So I feel like, if I were ever a professor, I would just utilize the "what do you think this means" question.
Right.
But and I'll draw from my knowledge right now, and I know I won't have a perfect understanding of this. So as listeners, I really encourage your own internal understanding of what is mindfulness. And because I'm guessing that a lot of people have a practice and an understanding of it that's very important and personal and meaningful to them in their own lives. And I will draw from the work of Daniel Siegel, who is an interpersonal neurobiologist, and he talks about mindfulness as paying attention to something in a particular way on purpose. So it's the practice of resting my mind on an object. And so sometimes the object of mindfulness can be the breath. So it's paying attention to the full cycle of the breath. So the beginning, the middle, and the end, all the way through. It can be putting my attention fully on my steps if I'm walking, or maybe the beauty of the world around me, maybe the colors, maybe mindfulness is paying attention to the person who's in front of me, or the tea, the taste that I'm drinking actually in this beautiful cup of tea that Scott made for me. No, wait, maybe Robin, both of them together. those are employees here and wonderful people. And it can also be not just paying attention to the senses that one can arrive in this present moment with, but also the knowledge. Like when I drink this tea, I'm also drinking the water. I'm tasting the rain. And with the rain, I'm tasting all the water that's ever been here before. Thich Nhat Hanh, he talks about how like our tears of today are the flowers of tomorrow. And it's very true, and it's very real. Mm-hmm. So by drinking this tea with mindfulness, I can feel my connection to the whole world, to the earth, to all people.
So that's an interesting thing because you obviously lead a busy life. You have to get through the day like all of us. You have to drive around. You have to get, you know, all that stuff. Do you find that that practice of mindfulness is something that comes to you without a concentration on it in your day-to-day life? Is it something that just sort of seeps into how you operate all the time? Or is it something that is more of a concentrated discipline that you go to, more of a meditation that you go to? Mm-hmm. How does that work in?
So maybe the question is like, how do I practice mindfulness in a day-to-day basis?
I guess that's right.
Let me see if I understand your question better. I think on one hand, one can practice mindfulness by paying just, you know, like a lot of times we sit down to practice mindfulness, to practice mindful sitting or mindful breathing. And on one hand, it's a very sweet gesture. Like, oh, this moment is so important that I'll sit down for it. Like the way Andy and I are sitting across from each other right now. And then I can... when sitting down and maybe I close my eyes or maybe I keep them open, it allows me to really to concentrate, like you said, more closely on my breath, maybe more closely to the thoughts that are arising, maybe more closely to the feelings that are here. And then the second part of the question is like, well, what about when you're living this daily life? On one hand, the habit energy, so the practice, the mindfulness, that part of my being that I'm developing when I'm sitting can come through as I'm practicing throughout the day. And like you said, life is really busy. I drive around, I work, I've got a family, all this stuff. And so sometimes it's just checking in, like, okay, here I am. Like right now, here I am in the KTOO studio. Here's my heart. It's beating. I'm nervous being on air.
Right.
And then the other practice, I think, that comes with mindfulness, like the other wing of the bird is compassion. And that's also a faculty that one can develop. And so here I am feeling a little nervous. I bring in the other wing and I just tell myself, oh, Curly, it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, so that's fascinating. Well, tell me a little bit about what you're expecting this retreat to be like.
Happy. Lovely. That would be nice.
So these are kind of experts in the field or people that have been practicing for many, many years. And then people can attend and, you know, is it sort of lectures or is it just walking through? Is it all kind of working on the practice itself? How does it kind of unfold?
So the six Dharma teachers – I guess maybe seven Dharma teachers and six monastics are coming actually from around the world. And these are people who've either dedicated their whole life to living in a monastery or 5 years. And one of the monastics is Sister Deng Nhaim. I'm probably mispronouncing her name. So for people like me, she calls herself Sister D. So Sister D is the abbot of Deer Park. And Sister D was a medical student who then left. She was a doctor, and she left medicine to become a nun. And she writes, she's written a couple books, including Mindfulness as Medicine. And she's a beautiful, fascinating woman and an incredible Dharma teacher. Listening to her talks has actually completely transformed my life, and I take from them every day, especially every day at work as a psychotherapist. So what I've heard is that in addition to her, the other five monastics are some of what I've been told the best teachers within the Plum Village lineage. So it's an incredible honor. And so during the day, what it'll look like is we'll do so on the day of mindfulness, which is June 18th, we'll do walking meditation as a group. I can't remember the schedule off the top of my head, but we'll do sitting. We'll listen to a Dharma talk, so that would be a teaching. We'll eat together, and we'll share from our hearts in a practice called Dharma sharing. And then I think there was maybe one more practice, maybe deep relaxation or something. I don't remember. And the whole invitation is to enjoy yourself. Like, just take this time and enjoy being alive, because it's a gift. And I love that you started with talking about Sentinel Coffee, because we're really lucky that Dave Thomas, the owner and the roaster of Sentinel Coffee, is going to be at the retreat helping us cook.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That's great.
So it's really lovely. We're very excited. Yeah.
That'll be nice.
And then for those of us who are staying for the full 3-day retreat, there will also be activities in the evening, which will include eating, and then noble silence in the evening, and then also sitting in the morning. And there will be a children's program. So my daughter will be coming, and I know several other kids are already signed up. And so the children's program, I'm not sure what their schedule is going to look like, but there will be, I think, a nun leading the children's program.
Great. How can people get involved in this and attend and find out more about it?
We want you there. let me actually consult my iTelephone and share with you my dear friend Deb Craig's number, and she is taking care of registration. So I'm looking it up right now.
Okay.
And her phone number is 907-209-0520. And
okay.
Should I share her email address, or was that – is that
– if that's a convenient way for her to get contacted, okay. I think that'd be great.
Yeah. So her email is debora_hlc11@gmail.com. So it's debora_lc11@gmail.com.
All right.
Yeah.
And still opportunities for people to participate. It's not filled up quite yet, so something for people to go. And it sounds like if you have kids and that kind of thing, don't let that stop you. It'll be a great program for kids to go out to as well. And out at Adlersheim, so it's going to be gorgeous and beautiful, just like it is going to be this weekend. We know it. So, and if it's not, you'll... you'll get to celebrate the rain.
And it'll still be beautiful.
Right.
And
wet.
There are spots available. There are especially spots available for the Day of Mindfulness. And then we're running out of beds. So if you want a bed in one of the cabins or the lodge, like, do contact us soon. Otherwise, there will be tent space.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Well, it's the Awakening Our Hearts, Healing Ourselves. It's a 1-day and 3-day, two different types of two programs there of mindfulness retreat with 6 monastics from the Peace Monk. And that's really a Plum Village Monastery is sort of how's that sort of associated? Is that – what's the lineage there? How does that
– Right. What is the Plum Village lineage?
Yeah.
So Thich Nhat Hanh, he was a monk – well, he still is a monk, but he was practicing in Vietnam during the Vietnamese War. And he was working very hard to end the war, and he realized that he needed to actually come to the West to work with the people in the West who were at war with Vietnam. So he came to the West, and during his time here, he also worked closely with Dr. Martin Luther King. And And while he was here trying to cultivate peace, he was exiled from Vietnam. So he wasn't able to go back to Vietnam. And so he stayed in the West. And actually, only recently has he been able to go back to Vietnam. Within this, I think, year, he had a stroke. So he's no longer teaching verbally, but he's teaching with his presence back in, I think, his root monastery in Vietnam. Mm. But so he came to the West and taught here. And then I'm not sure how he ended up in France, but he went to France and he started a monastery called Plum Village. And I think the plum part of Plum Village came from all the plum trees that they were planting that I don't remember the qualities of the plum tree, but maybe they break up the soil and create a lot of nutrients and also create a lot of food, which they would share.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was his intention. If I remember this correctly, and probably there are listeners who know, I don't think it was his intention to create a monastery, but people would come and practice with him because he cultivates a lot of peace, and it feels good to be around him and to be around people who dedicate themselves to cultivating peace. At least I find it that way. One of his teachings is there is no way to peace. Peace is the way. So when we look at peace as a goal outside of us, we're missing it. And that right now, the peace inside of us is what creates peace. It is peace. It's automatic.
Well, that's fascinating. And just a little bit of background on that. From someone who knows nothing about that. So I appreciate getting a little bit more information on that. Well, Corley LaForce, thanks so much for coming in and talking to us about this. Good luck with that retreat and
Thank you.
With all your practice happening at Blooming Lotus Sangha.
Thank you.
And great to see you and thanks
you
for
too.
Coming in.
Yeah, thank you, Andy.
And have a fantastic retreat.
Thank you.
Okay.
Take care, Juno.